As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The world's most famous arena will have playoff basketball later tonight. Go New York, go New York, go. The Detroit Pistons, fake-ass bad boys. Why do they got to try and act like they're the bad boys? Before we get to them, I got to address Knicks fans. I'm not a Knicks fan. I'm an NBA fan. I'm a WFAN host. I watch the Knicks games. And if you remember last year's run, I tried to turn my Knicks hater energy down and put on for the city as a radio host that was on at night during the Rangers run, during the Knicks run, taking those calls. It wasn't about me. It was about the city. And again, it's not about my fandom. The NBA team that I root for is irrelevant. And as I look at Knicks fans and I look at this series, I think I have a good vantage point because I'm not a Knicks fan, so I'm not worried. I'm not shook of the Pistons. I don't see the Pistons beating the Knicks. 888-808-1019. I'll lay it out for you and tell you my reasons why, but let's start with the coach. Stop. We eat our own. We are so critical and negative. You're already ready to kick this guy out of the door who's given you 50 win seasons. You had the 2 seed last year, the 3 seed this year. You're not used to this. You want to run the guy out of town that is the architect of this? You want to run the guy out of town that has helped you get this? I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Tom Thibodeau is not just a coach. He is a leader of men. You just heard Jalen Brunson talk about it. Your captain is going to go out there and make sure that they don't lose to the Pistons to protect this man's job. Your captain talked about what he's done for his career and how prepared he is. Do you think Tibbs is going out there to lose to JB Bickerstaff after a week of preparation? I don't think so. I don't think so. They'd be better off with Monty Williams. I'm just kidding. But I just don't see the Knicks losing to this young Detroit team. And let's talk about them for a minute now. I've been paying attention, more attention to them. I wasn't paying that much attention. Like, I think I was on last week and I mentioned Jaden Ivey. And then I thought about Jaden Ivey never came back from that broken leg that he had, one of their top draft picks over the years. And there's just a ton of attention around Cade Cunningham. And if you've ever heard me talk about the NBA and their international darlings, and if you've ever heard me talk about how the NBA wants to be a global game, if you've watched Court of Gold on Netflix, perfect example, right? They show you how France has Victor Wembanyama and Canada has Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and, you know, Serbia has Nikola Jokic. It seems like now the NBA game is a global game. There's so many foreign stars, Luka Doncic. But this is our game. The Americans win the gold. the Americans have the best players. LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, like the Americans are the best. And who is the next American to be the face of the franchise or be the face of the league and take over the mantle? It's like, you know, Ant-Man is not like that, bro. Ant-Man is a great player, but he's not really looking. Ja Morant is going from AK-47s to grenades. So he's not like that either. Cade Cunningham, is the guy that they want to thrust into the spotlight as the rising star, the next upcoming guy. He was the number one overall pick. He's 23 years old. He's cold as hell. But the machine is working. Whereas if Cade Cunningham and these, you know, Detroit versus everybody wannabe bad boys can knock off the New York Knicks, then Cunningham takes a step forward in that regard. They don't want it to be Jason Tatum either, even though he really is, you know, kids from St. Louis, went to Duke, drafted by the Celtics, champion already. He's cold as hell. He might go back to back, but like, you know, follow me what I'm saying here. There's so much propaganda around Cade Cunningham. And even though there's a ton of media here in New York, the media in the NBA, they hate New York. Like, they hate the Knicks. And I think a lot of it is because the Knicks have had such a strong fan base and so much hype over the years. Every year, even when they didn't actually have the guys on the floor or the coaching or, you know, the basketball to back it up. But now they do. Now they do. 888-808-1019. Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns were all-star starters. You go out and get a Mikal Bridges, forget about the regular season. The regular season is not the playoffs. And I know some of y'all are looking at what the Pistons did in the regular season versus the Knicks. It's not the same kind of environment. Not even the same players on the floor. Not the same matchups. Not the same sets, rotations. Like, Mitchell Robinson is back. Mitchell Robinson is talking about, you know, how he expects it to be a hard-fought series, right? It's going to be a dirty series. And he's ready to go out there and, you know, play for the city. Fight and compete for the city, good. And I think I saw Huck Porty might be questionable. That's another body to have with OG Anunoby, with Mikal Bridges. These guys are going to defend, and they're going to be playing defense like their life depends on it. They're going to have to stop Cade Cunningham, and he's going to look for guys to help him. And there's a lot of talk about the youth of the Detroit Pistons, which is good and bad. Youth is good because they're young. They can run up and down the court. They have fresh legs. You know, Cunningham, I mentioned, is 23. Isaiah Stewart. I think Isaiah Stewart, he seems like an old head, but he's young too. What was he? He's 23 too. AKA Beef Stew. You know, all the clips you see of him, it just seems like he wants to fight, get ejected. And then Asar Thompson is 22. Jalen Duren is 21. Ron Holland is 19. Like, they actually do have really young guys. And then mixed in, they have guys like Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris was a zero last year in the series against the Knicks playing for the Sixers. Tim Hardaway Jr., all Knicks fans are familiar with. He's on that team. Dennis Schroeder, we're all familiar with Dennis Schroeder too. He's bounced around on a bunch of teams, fumbled the bag. He's on that team, but I don't know, man. As I was putting together notes and I was looking at box scores and all these different things to try and think about what was going to happen, you know, obviously Detroit has the battery in their back right now. The Detroit Lions emerged and got to the NFC Championship. Should have went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Then they were the number one seed in the NFC playoffs this year, fell flat on their face. But the city was alive. Detroit is going through a mini renaissance right now. So they're very much taking on this attitude of Detroit versus everybody and it being their time. Even their baseball team, right? Their baseball team got hot, knocked off the Astros, and they're pretty good so far this year. Like, the city is feeling themselves. And I haven't mentioned Malik Beasley yet. You know, he's got an interesting story. I was reading in the Players Tribune. His mom is from Detroit, born and raised. So he used to spend summers in Detroit growing up. And he put out this letter on the Players Tribune where, you know, he was talking about his Detroit versus everybody, the grit, the family environment that we have, we're about to put on for the city, you know, how so many guys on this team were counted out, but we've come together and now is our time. And he said, you know, Detroit, I think Detroit was the perfect fit because it's this entire team that has something to prove. Ownership, coach, Cade, our young guys, our vets, even the fans had something to prove. You finished last in the league. You lose 28 in a row at one point. The arena was not rocking. That's not Detroit basketball. I can't announce it how their announcers do it. I've never been to Little Caesars Arena. I'm reading from the article. He says it's not where you want to be. They were in the, you know, dumps last year. The Knicks made a trade with them last year. And I don't know, man. I see a lot of people picking the Detroit Pistons, and I think it's just a sexy pick because people hate on the Knicks and hate on New York. It's just a sexy pick to, in the first round to be like, oh, let me take Detroit. But they're not taking them in four. They're not taking them in five. Most of them are taking them in seven. They're saying if Detroit is going to beat the Knicks, it's got to take seven games. I think the Knicks beat them in six, but it could also be in five. It could also be in five. 888-808-1019. So, you know, now I've opened that conversation. I'll add more as far as, you know, some different matchups and players, some people that we should be looking for to star in this series, what it's going to take to win as far as, you know, defense and three-point shooting and who's got to do what and the matchups and things that I have in my notes. But I want to hear from the Knicks fans. Are you nervous? Are you excited? I think you got to be excited, man. You know, I saw Ian Begley posting about a watch party on 33rd Street outside of Madison Square Garden for game one. It's free. It's open to the public. It starts at 4 p.m. today, tonight, not tomorrow. It's Saturday. Hello. And there's going to be different Knicks alumni, including Latrell Sprewell, Marcus Camby, Larry Johnson. The Fan Plaza opens at 4. So if you want to go out there, even if you don't have tickets to the game and you just want to be around other Knicks fans, you just want to be in that environment because it is playoff time. How many playoffs did you watch where the Knicks season was over? They're consistently in the playoffs now, and nobody knows what's going to happen. But my prediction all week has been Knicks in 6. I think there's going to be a game or two where Cade Cunningham goes off. I think Detroit is going to be rocking. We already saw how they tried to stop Knicks fans from buying tickets. They want to keep it all Michigan in there. Good luck with that. New York travels well. The Knicks especially have fans that travel well, but it's fun. It's a heightened level of everything, and you should be nervous. You should be feeling some kind of way right now. You should have a little bit of anxiety or some butterflies in your stomach because it's playoff basketball. It's do or die. It's win or go home. And this Knicks team, we all know what they're up against. We all know that they have to get through this first round. They have to advance and meet the Celtics. 888-808-1019. I was looking at the schedule too. As, you know, Yankee calls are still coming in. I'm going to take the Yankee calls. I'm going to take the Mets calls, of course, coming off of those wins, coming off of both teams being in first place with 13 wins. But I'm not on again until Monday. And it is now Saturday. And I'll be the first one on the Fan to start, you know, stirring the pot and cooking on the Knicks first round playoff matchup, the 3-seed Knicks versus the 6-seed Detroit Pistons. 888-808-1019. So Saturday, today, 6 p.m., you've got that game on ESPN against Detroit. Game one is a must-winning game. And then Monday, I'm not sure what time I'll be on, probably late. So I'll probably be on the Fan after the Knicks face Detroit in game two on TNT. Then Thursday is the first game in Little Caesars Arena out there in Michigan. And that's on the 24th. Then there's a game Sunday out there in Michigan. That's at 1 p.m. The Thursday game is TBD. I would assume they do it at night. But what I'm getting at here is when you start to look at the schedule and you start to think like, okay, the Knicks should win the first game, they should win the second game. They say the series doesn't start until the road team wins. Man, if the Knicks could take that first game in Detroit, I think that's going to be the toughest one to win. I think they might have a better shot in the matinee game, that Sunday game, which is a little earlier. But that stretch, I was just joking. Like, the Knicks were there coming off the heels of the Yankees playing in Detroit, and it was cold, and it was freezing temps and snowing, and the Yankee games went from 6:40 at night to all afternoon games because they had to play them when the sun was out. And I'm like, nobody wants to go to Michigan. Well, the Knicks are going to go to Michigan probably Wednesday, fly out there, play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's a stretch of 5 days in Michigan. Nobody wants to go to Michigan. And I don't know how warm it's going to be, but a stretch of like 4.5, 5 days in Michigan is a lot. They may come back with the series split, win the next game, then go to Detroit, win that game. And I got Knicks in six, man. I got Knicks in six. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Charlie in Queens on the Fan. What's up, Charlie?
Hello, Keith. How you doing, bro?
Good. How are you?
One, I got tickets to next Friday's game. Get my hockey Yankee jersey.
Yeah, I'm trying to go to that game, too. Hopefully the good folks here at WFAN can put a ticket to the side for me. But even if they don't, I will be in there.
Then I'm also going to the game, the May 2nd game with the
Jazz Chisholm
basketball.
Yep. I will be in there for that one, too. I'll be there next Saturday. I'm hoping that it starts to warm up and we can get some 70-degree days. And then the temperature at night is like 55. We'll see. You know, I think we're on our way.
Okay. Plus, I'm wearing this new kid. You might have heard him, Rice. He wears 22. I got that jersey.
Ben
I don't know
Rice,
how he became so good. I just wore this beautiful jersey. I said, what the hell?
I'm kicking myself because I saw that 22 jersey go on sale after Soto signed, and it was for the low. And I'm like, you can't get that. No one's going to wear that jersey. People are going to think you're wearing a Soto jersey. And then Ben Rice takes 22, and I'm like, should have bought it.
About the Knicks, because you know I'm a Knicks fan. I don't think much about Detroit. I think they're a good team, but they're not at our level yet.
No.
What do you think of them?
What I think is that the Detroit fans are excited, and they're pumped up, and they should be. Their team poked their head out this year, and they were competitive. But Detroit fans haven't been in the playoffs since Blake Griffin and them in 2019. They haven't won a playoff series in God knows how long. It is a different beast and environment. And as I talk about the world's most famous arena, these Knicks fans are getting used to the playoffs. These Knicks fans are getting used to that wild atmosphere. And it's different when these guys from Detroit come here and they look at Celebrity Row and they've got all these celebrities around and cameras flashing, and there's a way different presence of media and pressure, and the Knicks, they're going to respond to that. I always say that the air in there is different. It just smells different. It feels different in the Garden.
And I'm surprised. Is Kid Rock going to the Detroit games with Eminem? They're going to sit with each other and, you know, pass popcorn?
Kid Rock, Eminem, Big Sean. I don't even know. But yeah, maybe they'll bring out Jello Ball.
And since Roseanne Barr's not really liked in New York anymore, she can go to Detroit and cheer for them, too. It'll be like a wonderful fest.
It's going to be great. I've never been to Motown. Respect to the city. I just never had a reason to go. But this is iconic, New York versus Detroit. This is going to be a good series. Knicks in six, man. I'm putting some respect on Detroit, but not as much respect as so many people are saying that they're going to beat the Knicks. I'm giving them two games and two close games and maybe two close games in their building. Maybe they win one, of the first two and then another one to stay alive. But I think the Knicks could gentlemen sweep them, honestly. They have better players and a better coach, and you're going to see the Knicks play at a different level than they did against Detroit in the regular season. And I think they're going to outscore them. I think they have better scorers. I think if the defense is solid or more solid with OG, with Mitch, with, you know, how they can put Josh Hart on the floor and attack them and stop Cade Cunningham. And I see the Knicks as more experienced with better players, a better coach, and they're going to play a different level of basketball against these guys that they haven't seen yet.
And one last thing about the Giants with the pick. Just pick the best player.
Yeah, if Abdul Carter is there, go ahead and take him.
Yeah, because we need everything.
Right.
When you need everything, you go for the best that's right in front of you. And you go, you know what? We'll get a quarterback sooner or later.
Yeah, that's a good way
to put it. Not great, but decent quarterbacks anyway. So why complain now? All right, have a good night. Hope little Action Jackson is staying out of trouble, and I'll see you at the stadium in about a week.
Charlie, I'll see you in the bleachers or wherever I might find you in the Bronx. And, yeah, Jackson is in his terrible twos, but he's being good and he's sleeping right now. I like how you put it about the Giants. We make so much about where they have holes and needs. And when you lose 10 games in a row, clearly you have holes everywhere. So take the best player available, the most talented guy, and he's going to enter your locker room and enter your facility and be one of the most talented guys and help you out on the field. And that might be Abdul Carter. I've been saying, though, they have Kayvon, they have Brian Burns, they went out and got Chauncey Golston, that like maybe getting another edge rusher might be too redundant. Maybe he doesn't help you right away to trade back, but it takes two to tango. To trade back, you got to get somebody on the phone that wants that number three spot, probably to take Abdul Carter, and they've got to give you a good haul. And if you're not getting something that's worth it, then you can't just take it. We're coming up on it. Next week is going to be so much fun. Next week with the draft, with the NBA playoffs, the Devils in the Stanley Cup playoffs, with the Mets and the Yankees, first place teams just rolling on. Like, there's going to be a lot to do and a lot to talk about. Tangible things, real things. We're not going to have to reach for takes. We're not going to have any contrived things. Like, we're going to have actual results and things to break down, to analyze, and to take your calls on. 888-808-1019. As I'm looking for the Knicks fans to join in the conversation, I could talk about the Knicks for the next 90 minutes. But Yankee fans want to call the fan and talk to me, and I don't mind. Matthew is in New Jersey next on the fan. What's up, Matt?
How are you, Keith?
I'm good. Another good win, a 1-0 win.
Big win. I love that. Hitting, you know, pitching was great tonight. Hitting wasn't great. But about the hitting, Cody Bellinger, he's looking rough to start the season. Do you think this is just some spring slumps, early season slumps? Do you think he's going to pick it up?
He looked so good in the spring. He was like the second guy I said I was excited about. Ben Rice first,
yeah,
and then Cody Bellinger. But he has had food poisoning and now back issues that have slowed him down. I think once it gets warm, the back will be loose. He'll be out there running around sweating, and that shouldn't be an issue. And hopefully these guys, Austin Wells came down with food poisoning. Hopefully these guys are being extra cautious with what they're deciding to eat. I think Cody Bellinger is going to come around once it starts heating up too. And luckily we haven't like desperately needed him because of the emergence of Ben Rice, because Paul Goldschmidt has been automatic. Judge has been a freak. So, yeah, I think Cody will come around as he's in the lineup. He's been taken out of the lineup so many times. It's hard to get a flow going when you're playing like one game a series.
Okay. And also, this is, you know, we're in the early season. I don't want to get too ahead, but what do you think the goal for this team is, you know, come playoff time? Is it, you know, is a World Series possible? I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but what's the end goal, do you think, for this team?
This is the New York Yankees, bro. They were in the World Series last year. They're expected to go to the World Series every year. We would be kidding ourselves if we're like, oh, is a World Series possible? We expect to win it this year. We expect to go back and win it. If it's the Dodgers waiting for us, if it's the Mets waiting for us, it could be the Chicago Cubs. Like, I expect them to get to the Fall Classic and win it this year to erase last year, straight up. And I know we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. As I say, you know, we take it day by day, series by series, week to week, month to month. But we know we'll be disappointed with an appearance as a wild card team. We know, like, we expect them to win a division. They're in first place right now. I expect them to stay in first place. They might drop. They might have a little bit of a slump. They might fall out of it. But, like, at the end of the year, there's not going to be one Yankee fan saying, yay, we made it to the DS. Oh, we lost in the ALCS. We were so close. You'd be mad as hell if they don't get back to the World Series. And if they get back to the World Series and lose back-to-back World Series, man, that's going to be pain. So, yeah, I expect them to win it. And I expect Judge to be Judge. I really do. I expect this year to be the year that Aaron Judge carries his regular season prowess into October. He failed at the highest level last year. I've said these things over and over. These three things. He failed at the highest level. There's no greater stage to fail on. His daughter was born in the offseason. He's a father now. Life changes. The perspective changes. The gravity of watching a life come to life and being someone's dad, it makes all the other stuff seem like it's nothing. And then third, Juan Soto left the Yankees and went across town and Judge was very vocal about how he feels the Yankees have a better chance to win. And I just think all of the mocking of him dropping the pop-up and people talking, even right now, how great he's been, people talking about, oh, well, it doesn't matter till October. Well, yeah, when we get to this next October, fingers crossed, I think Judge is going to be like the same. I think if they pitch to him, he's not going to be pressing as much. He's in his prime right now. He's still only getting better. So let's see it. Stay healthy and get there.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Thank you so much, Keith. Have a good one.
Thanks for the call, Matt. 888-808-1019. Maybe there's more than like three things. If we go back to last year, it's the failing on the highest level, the World Series, the world watching. And then you got to put the mocking, right? I can't say anything on Twitter without someone putting a GIF of Judge dropping that pop-up. As if Judge didn't make a ridiculous catch to rob Freddie Freeman and right before that. As if Judge wasn't flawless, MVP all-star in center field, no errors at the position all year. But all it takes is one, because that led to them unraveling in the fifth. You know, people making an AI image of Judge in Times Square saying, oh, waiting for the ball to drop. People minimizing Aaron Judge's greatness all offseason. Oh, yeah, he's Mr. May. You know, in this offseason, his daughter being born, him stepping into fatherhood, parenthood, it's different now. He's got a little girl at home looking at him. His wife is now the mother of his child. And, like, not to go too deep into it, but I've spoken on this before, Judge is adopted. Judge's blood parents, we don't know anything about his blood parents. So, like, I don't know what his daughter looks like, and I'm minding my business, but, you know, this is part of the conversation. Like, that is his biological blood relative. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure that's heavy for him in a good way. I know what it's like for me having my son, just looking at my son every day. My son was born April 13th, 2023, and I'm looking at him now, and I'm like, how did he become this in 2 years? I'm looking at the pictures from, you know, these days, 2 years, I'm like, wow, I'm different. My choices are different. My perspective has changed. The way that I approach everything is now not just for me. It's about my wife and my son. I'm telling you, Judge is moving different. The window is closing, right? This Yankees championship window is closing. We don't even have Cole this year. But they did pivot and make some moves, right? Another layer is Juan Soto leaving. You got to the World Series last year with Juan Soto. And Juan Soto decided that there were greener pastures across town and vocalized that he felt like he had a better chance of winning over there. Like, when we get to October, Judge knows, you know, I know, everybody in baseball, like, Judge knows he has to perform. 888-808-1019. I just think there's so many things that have changed for him. And when you put all those things together, I think that it's not going to be so heavy. I don't think he's going to be pressing as much. I think this could be the year. He's already off to the best start of his career. So if he's off to the best start of his career, still in his prime, still getting better, why can't he get to the postseason this year and power the Yankees? And he knows, and you know, and I know, all it takes is one. All it takes is him to have 1 month in October like he's had through this stretch. They're putting up the numbers now of his last 162 games. Let me see if I can find it, because it's stupid. The numbers that have popped up are dumb. Like, they don't make any sense. Like, people are talking about Judge breaking his own home run record, and I just think that, you know, as with all the talk about, oh, yeah, he can't do it in October, well, please talk about October 2025. Don't talk about the past, because it's over. It's done. And that's why we watch. That's why we're locked in, and this team has a different energy about them. They have a good mix of young players that are wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, and it seems like they're just happy to be out there smiling and playing. And then they have, you know, some grizzled veterans that, you know, aren't cracking smiles but are out there going about their business, going to work the way they have for years. That's a good mix to have, and I feel like they're locked in. You got to lose to know how to win. Man, you got to go through some pain. This Yankees team, a lot of these guys, they went through pain last year losing that World Series. So, yeah, if you're a Yankee fan asking me, what are the expectations? This World Series, bro, and to win it. This window is not forever. 888-808-1019. The Knicks window is not forever. The Knicks window is 3 years, including this year. I think they might have another 2 years after this with this group that they punched it and made these trades and moves to get. And Knicks fans, call me up, join the conversation when we come back. Still taking calls on the Yankees, on the Mets, and just going to keep mixing in different things around the New York Knicks as the Knicks will host the Detroit Pistons in the Garden tonight. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back. I am talking about sports, specifically New York sports, on the greatest sports station ever created in the greatest city in the world with the greatest fans that never get enough of it. I've been joking about that recently because I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. I'm like, WFAN is one of the only stations where it's not automated at night, where all hours of the day, there's just different shifts, different people coming in, talking about the same things. You'll hear some of the same callers call different shows. You'll hear some of the same callers call every day. People don't get tired of it. And it's free. It is streaming free on the Odyssey app and on WFAN.com and, of course, 101.9 FM and 660 AM. And there are people that can hear the AM feed far-reaching, and it's entertaining. It is not like this in every city. They don't have the amount of talent that we have on our roster in every city. And they also don't have you, the fans, that call in with your thoughts, your takes, and your emotion and passion. That's what does it, too. You know, I'm a solo host, so I literally lean on the callers. I don't have a co-host to powwow with during the break. You know, and I do the night shift. Shout out to Jack, who just switched with Paulie. Paulie was here at 12. Jack just came in, so I have different producers. But dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to join the conversation around the New York Knicks. Before we went to break, I talked about how the Knicks will be back into the playoffs. Playoff energy is back in the Garden. If you heard Jalen Brunson talk about it, it's like, you know, a story you tell somebody, but people got to experience it for themselves. I did not go last year, but I did go against the Miami Heat. I think I went to Game 5 in that Miami Heat series, and it's just different in there, man. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. And so, Knicks fans, you're about to have a lot of fun again, and you got to believe. I don't understand the trepidation. I don't understand the negativity. I don't understand the thoughts about, we can't beat the Pistons. You have to. You literally have to beat the Detroit Pistons. And I think it's Knicks in five, I think it's Knicks in six, but I think they can beat them in five. I'm trying to give them a little bit of respect that they're not going to get swept. Cade Cunningham is a great player, a great young player, though. Let's see if he can continue. Like, he's good for 30 points. He scored 30 points in the Garden every time. Let's see if he can continue that, though, in the playoffs when they throw different looks at him. And the defense is ratcheted up to a different level. You know, who's checking him? Is it OG? Is it McHale? We shall see. We shall see. You know? And I really think that it's a matchup where the Knicks have to score. You know, I was looking and there was a clip where Mikal Bridges was talking about how he feels that his mid-range game will be big for the Knicks in the playoffs. I'm like, that's what I said. It's not so much about the threes. It's about getting in the paint, shooting the ball, and passing the ball. Josh Hart being a passer. Brunson knowing when to pass. Those guys knowing when to dish it. And, you know, when I looked at the last game, and it was a 9-point win, and it was fairly close for a while, the last game on April 10th when the Knicks faced the Pistons, and they did so without OG, without Josh Hart, and without Mitchell Robinson. And guys like Precious Achiuwa were giving them a run for their money. And guys like Miles McBride. I just think this Knicks team is deep enough. I think this team is well coached enough and prepared enough where their stars are going to match up better with, you know, the handful of stars that the Pistons have. 888-808-1019. Bruce is in Suffern, New York. Getting a little feedback,
hey Keith, what's
Bruce,
going on?
But yep, you're live. There you go.
Keith, you can hear me?
Yep, you're good now.
All right, look, Keith, I'm not going to lie to you. We're in the car, and we're talking about the Knicks, man. I'm thinking I got the Knicks in five, baby. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it could be a gentleman sweep. It could be Knicks in five.
Keith, I got Josh Hart, 30 points. First night. How you feeling about that?
Oh, whoa. Why you got Josh Hart 30 points? How's he going to get 30 points? Has he scored 30 points this year?
No, he hasn't, but I'm just feeling in my bones, man. I think that McBride's going to come off the bench, give him the ball. I think he's going to get 12 rebounds. I'm feeling lucky with Josh Hart. I got my DraftKings loaded up. I'm feeling Josh Hart tonight. Not tonight, sorry. Opening night. My fault.
Well, it is tonight. The game is tonight. Game one is tonight. Thanks for the call, Brooks. Do not bet Josh Hart to score 30 points in the first playoff game. That's a waste of money and time. I just mentioned him being a passer. Maybe bet his assist prop. And I haven't looked at the FanDuel app and the odds. I might throw a little something on it. But do not bet Josh. How is Josh Hart going to score 30 points? Jalen Brunson will probably score 30 points if they run strictly through him. Karl Anthony Towns, maybe 30. I would bet OG Anunoby to score 30 points before Josh Hart. There's no strategy where Josh Hart is going. But like you feel it in your bones, you said, throw a couple shekels on it. But I'm telling you, you're wasting your time. 888-808-1019. I would look for his assists and his rebounds. I would look for Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges, depending on, like, he can't have these 5-point single-digit point games. He's got to be a threat. And I'm really looking at Mikal Bridges as like, okay, bro, you can change Knicks fans' feelings about you completely with one good playoff series, playing good defense and scoring the basketball in the mid-range. But I don't know if any of these guys scoring 30 points is the way. You want to kind of keep them off balance. That's why I'm like, if you had, 28 points from Karl Anthony Towns and another 25 from Brunson and another 19-20 from OG, and then you're like, that's probably better. I'm very curious to see this year if it's Brunson dominating the ball and him doing all the scoring or how they set this up. Like, they're going to go to the hot hand. They're going to try and, play the matchups. But there is no matchup where Josh Hart scores 30 points. 888-808-1019. Come on, Knicks fans. We need a little different kind of Knicks fan caller. Charlie weighed in on the Knicks. Brooks just weighed in, I guess, with his FanDuel dreams of like a plus 5,000 ticket. We need a little different energy from the Knicks fan. Maybe it's nervous energy right now. Maybe the Knicks fan tonight is like, I don't know, I'm not feeling it. Let's continue, though. I want to take this call from Chris in Syracuse. Hello, Chris. You're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing, Keith?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I wanted to tell you a little story. I'm a big Rangers fan, and it was one Sunday afternoon, and I tuned in to watch the game, and I noticed Sam Rosen wasn't doing the game. So between periods, I switched over to check out some NFL games, and I switched to the Bills game, and Sam Rosen's doing the game.
When was this?
That's something. He did the NFL from the 90s to like 2019, I believe.
Okay.
And I'm shocked I haven't heard anyone mention that on the Fan, not even Boomer.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know he's been in the game for, weren't they celebrating 40 years of him doing the Rangers call? But
yeah.
A lot of these guys, like John Sterling, called Atlanta Hawks games. We're hearing Dave Sims right now. Dave Sims did NFL, did college basketball. A lot of these announcers, they end up becoming the voice of a certain team, but as they're making their way up, they do other things. They do different leagues, and like the best guys can do every sport.
Yeah, and that's a similar talent to his replacement, Kenny Albert, doing basketball and hockey. I just wanted to mention that. I'm on the thruway driving a tractor trailer from Syracuse to Albany. I was going to call last night when you were talking about Sam Rosen, but I was too close to my destination. But go next.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Yeah, last night I opened my show, and the first thing I had to do was honor Sam Rosen. And I talked about how great it was that the Rangers were able to send him out with a 4-0 shutout. But like for me, as someone who's in his fourth year on the radio as a nighttime host, and looking at someone who just did 40 years as the voice of the Rangers and as you know, Chris just said it, you know, he called NFL games and other things. I just think it's impressive. And it's hard to do. I'm trying to find the words now to put it together. It's just like, it's such a sacrifice to be able to do all of those games. It takes such a level of preparation and skill to be so good at it. It's also so hard to obtain. You know, there's so many people that want those jobs. There's so many people that want to get, and like, it's crazy. There's, you know, we just saw John Sterling last year, excuse me. Howie Rose just celebrated last year. He's not done, but he celebrated a milestone last year. We talked last night about Al Hartwig. Just in New York sports, and I'm blanking on the words for it. In New York sports, Al Troutwig. In New York sports, there have been so many of these guys who are the like soundtrack to these teams and these broadcasts. And we're in this era now where like there's starting to be somewhat of a changing of the guard. And it's just crazy to think that these guys have held on to these jobs for so long and done it so professionally and so well. And eventually, you know, it's time to hang it up. Eventually, that's the end for all of us. So I just kind of started last night with, you know, a tribute to Sam Rosen and just giving him his flowers. It's something you don't think about until it's over. And myself, I'm like, I don't know how long I'll be doing this. And there's a lot of people that say to me, oh, you got to get into broadcasting. You got into calling the game. I'm like, I don't want to be a broadcaster. That was never my aim. I wasn't trying to call games. I was never trying to do play-by-play or do color. But I think years ago, before the internet, before some of these other verticals and things you could do on TV and YouTube and podcasts and even like myself being a radio host, all these guys that got into it, like they got into it calling baseball games and football games and basketball games and hockey games. I never really did that. I called some Pop Warner football games. I went from calling Pop Warner football games, fast forward 20 years later, I got to sit in for Susan Waldman and call a Yankee game. And I couldn't call games when I was young growing up because I played sports every season. And even in college, I can't call a game. How can I call a game? I'm at practice. I can't call the game. I'm in the weight room. I can't call a game. It just never timed up for me to be able to get those reps. But yeah, I have a ton of respect for guys that have been able to do it for a long time and hold it down, and they become iconic, and they outlive the like players. They become part of the team. Like 40 years, no players is able to play for 40 years. Players don't even play half that long. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Sam Rosen on a great career. 888-808-1019. Rob is in Jackson Heights. Rob, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, what's going on? That is so ironic. That's literally why I was calling in. So I was going to ask you how you felt about doing play-by-play and joining Susan because, and it's funny what you said earlier too, I just had my first child, beautiful baby girl, April 10th, last Thursday, and my beautiful fiance lives in Jackson Heights. I'm from Long Island, so I wait for the traffic to die down, and then I head out to Jackson Heights every night, throwing the Yankee game on the radio, and, you know, I hate to be negative, but I'm really devastated that Sterling's gone. I actually think Dave Sims is kind of brutal. I'm kind of like worried for my health. I'm like falling asleep behind the wheel.
Ah, man. Well, first off, congratulations to you and your girl and your baby girl. I know, like I just was talking about the life experience, how much changes and, you know, how great that is. You know, and also for me, I would need to get reps, and I don't see like this is my job now. I would need to get reps, even when they kind of threw me into the fire in the Yankee situation. I'm just a Yankee fan, so I'm happy to get the opportunity to do it. But like I did all my nighttime shows leading up. I think I did Thursday night, and then the next Friday, like the next day, Friday night, I'm on the Yankee call. And in hindsight, I'm like, man, I needed more time to prepare for that. It's not necessarily my lane. It's not something I'm trying to do. But what I will say is it's really hard to do. I give Susan a ton of credit, and I give Dave a ton of credit. And what I'll say is, John, like if you're 30-some years old, John is all you really knew calling the games. And we heard Ricky Ricardo, we heard Justin Shackle, we heard Emmanuel Babari. I mean, even like Craig Carton did a game, Brandon Tierney did a game. I forget the Islanders broadcaster that did a game. Nobody is John Sterling. He's one of one, and his style was just so much of Yankee baseball and what we came to know and love. Dave Sims is a pro's pro. He's really good, too. I just think it's going to take longer than the first, you know, 20 games. I also, like, even tonight I was listening. Susan messed up. She's like, you know, and taking the mic, the voice of the Yankees, John Sterling. Oh, she did it again, and I guess her and Dave have, like, a jar where she puts $10 in the jar every time she messes that up. But I just think Dave is a complete different broadcaster and voice and sound, but he's good. He's had some really good calls, and I think all these things take time, man. Whenever there's a transition, it takes time.
I didn't want to throw any shade at him. It's just more so I'm kind of missing Sterling. Like, I think Sterling was
of course, bro. I lumped that in. I'm like, we lost the World Series, we lost Juan Soto, and don't forget we lost John Sterling.
Yep, exactly. And then one more point I wanted to touch on, bringing that you just brought up, Juan Soto. Seeing the way that he's playing, do you think he should change his name to Juan Soso?
That joke has been floating around the last couple weeks. Everybody's got to get their jokes and jabs in now, because that guy is going to turn it on, and we're going to a lot of quiet people like, wow. And the Mets are going to they're winning without him. So when he starts getting it going and they're pitching and they're all hitting, and like, they might go on a better run than they did last year. So yeah, get your jabs and jokes in on Juan Soto right now until it warms up and this guy's hitting the ball out of the ballpark.
Yep. Okay. Well, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. Love your show.
Thanks for the call, Rob. 888-808-1019. It's tough whenever there's a transition, you know? Whenever, like, shout out to Steve Summers, who is an icon, and you should check out his podcast, the Me Here, You There podcast that Steve is doing. But when I came in, I remember how much flack I got. I always talk about it because it coincided with me being in Puerto Rico with my wife, and my son wasn't born yet. And honestly, we were in Puerto Rico as like a second honeymoon, because after I got married to my wife, I made my wife go to Colorado for the All-Star game. And I was like, we'll go somewhere once baseball's over. This is before I was on the fan. I just always been a baseball fan like that. Wanted to go to the All-Star game, and then also was not going anywhere until the World Series was over, just in case the Yankees made it to the World Series. They did not. But I ended up being in Puerto Rico for the first like week of November, and I remember getting the call from WFAN that like the schmooze wanted to do his final schmooze. He wanted to let the cat out of the bag, let people know that he was stepping out and that I was coming in. And when that bomb got dropped, I remember getting the green light, but like once the article came out and then once the internet found out, the wave of like negativity and hate and just like people had never even heard my voice. They had never heard my radio show. Some of them knew of my podcast and some of them had followed me on the internet and some other things that I was doing. But I'm like, wow. I'm like, is this what it's like to like make it? Is this what it's like to step into the industry? I'm like, these things that people are writing about me, like I'm in Puerto Rico right now and I'm crying tears of joy at dinner with my wife. But then when I get back to the hotel to look at my phone, I'm like, well, damn, like they got to give me a shot. But what I'm saying is, you know, it was just the transition of people that love Steve Summers and were so used to hearing Steve's show, and they couldn't possibly imagine someone else coming in and doing the nighttime show, and wanted to, you know, wanted to hear him continue and whatever. And I'm, you know, I'm still not Steve Summers, and I never will be, but I think I've developed my own sound and carved out my own lane. And I know I have people that enjoy my show, and it took time. I'm still working on it. I'm still trying to get better at it, but I'm using that to talk about, like, you know, Dave Sims taking over for John Sterling. Whenever there's change, People react negatively. It's rare that someone takes over for someone that's been doing something for so long, even if there's someone like Dave Sims. Like, I'm coming in with no radio experience. You know, I'm coming in as a relative nobody in the grand scheme of things. And so I understood it. And I honestly channeled it and was like, well, I'm going to prove people wrong. You know, I'm going to work hard at this. Like, I'm going to get good at this. I'm going to, you know, do my thing, whatever. But like, Dave Sims was calling games for the Seattle Mariners. And Dave Sims was from here. Dave Sims was doing shows here. Dave Sims, when I got on the Fan, reached out to me and said, young man, I was doing the nighttime show back in 88, 89. I'm like, wow, that's when I was born. So yeah, it's just part of it, man. There's going to be more change. There's always going to be things like, when Craig left multiple times, like Craig leaves, Gio ends up with Boomer. They're still number one. Craig comes back. It's Carton and Roberts. They're number one. They leave. Now it's Evan and Tiki. Like, you know, people might have had something to say when those change happened, even with, Tiki and Tierney and then Sal. It's like at first people react negatively, but then you give it time and it evolves and it changes. And then you realize, like, you know, people are putting in work and they're professionals and it's not that bad. 888-808-1019. We're about to hit 1 o'clock. Still looking for Knicks fans to chime in on the Detroit Pistons series coming up, starting in the Garden at 6 p.m. tonight. Still talking about the Mets and the Yankees coming off wins, being in first place. And taking your calls on anything else, like, you know, Sam Rosen or you know, Dave Sims on the call. And I got some other things to sprinkle in, too. We haven't really talked about the NFL draft. We haven't really talked about the Stanley Cup playoffs either, so we can do some of that as well. I've got 1 hour left. If you'd like to join the show, dial 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan, back after this.